Turtledove. I'm a fellow who writes alternate history and historically based fantasy, other science fiction, straight historical fiction.
This is a continuing episode of a series with master of alternate history, Harry Turtledove. You have a novel coming out called The Wages of Sin. Tell us about that.
Well, it's set in 1850s England in a world where HIV got loose in the early 1500s. And the obvious problem that this presents, you know, once people begin to sort out that this is a separate disease, that it's not syphilis, that it's not smallpox, that it's not anything else, that it's a thing of its own, is how do you keep it from spreading? Because, I mean, people like to screw. Screwing is fun. How do you keep them from doing it? How do you keep them from catching this disease that, given, you know, the level of medicine that they have, is going to kill them slowly and unpleasantly?
Yeah.
And I show in the book is a society where women are basically in purdah, where you are strongly discouraged even from seeing them. So they cover up from, you know, from feet all the way up through their hair. You know, I mean, you know, examples of this are not unknown in our own modern world either.
Right.
And what do you do if you are a woman who is engaged to a young man and you find out that, surprise, he has screwed somebody else while he's off at law school? What kind of danger are you facing? What do you want to do about this? So that's, you know, that's a brief summary of what the novel is about.
Yeah. It's kind of, this is a pretty serious matter because all these biological systems are pressuring us to, if you will, enjoy the act of screwing. And now there's this long-term...
There's a serious disincentive that goes along with it.
Yeah. Well, and it's not even immediate, so it takes time. And so that means you may spread it further or...
Exactly.
Yeah. And so it gets to be a bad situation. So, you know, who are the main characters in this story?
The main characters are my girl is Viola Williams, who is a doctor's daughter. She is engaged to law student Peter Drinkwater, whose father is also a lawyer and whose father is also her father's best friend. You know, it's an arranged marriage, you know, and she has to figure out, can I do better? She's also an aspiring writer, and she very much resents what women are forced into by this society. You know, her father, as this progresses, gradually notices that, you know, this isn't really fair the way we work this society. And he says, I might even be the first person to notice that. And she goes, no, all the women in the world for the past couple of hundred years have had a suspicion this might be the case. Yeah.
Right. And so I'm hearing the father, the daughter, and then the suitor, I think he is.
And her fiancé and his family.
Oh, okay. And what's the fiancé's motivations here?
He wants to be a reasonable success. He wants to get married. He wants not to catch the wasting, which he has given himself an opportunity to catch by, in the drunken aftermath of a triumph at law school, he has laid a hooker.
Yeah.
And the you know, the conflict is, well, what the heck do we do about this now? Do we take the chance? Do we not take the chance? And yeah, I'm not going to tell you what happens.
Now, why did you choose this particular adjustment for your novel?
I got the idea. I thought about it. I thought, what the heck would people do in a situation like that? Because, you know, there is nothing medically that they can do. And if they can't do anything medically, what kind of social changes will this produce? And I answered the question as best I could, and I hope in an interesting way.
Yeah, and I like your choice of the fiancé's profession is a medical doctor, so there's some kind of knowledge.
Her father is a doctor.
Oh, okay.
She can't be a doctor. I mean, she's a woman. You're not going to.
The fiance was a lawyer. Sorry, I lost something there.
The boy is going to law school. She is a woman, and she's going to be a wife, and she also wants to be a writer.
Yeah. Yeah.
She has written a rather satirical book, imagining a non-existent island off the coast of California, where the people are just as advanced as they are in her own society, but where, since they don't go anywhere and nobody has discovered them up until now, they don't know anything about this whole HIV thing and what would their society look like. So it's imagining a world without HIV from a world where it's pandemic.
Nice. Yeah, it sounds like, you know, I'm hearing a little bit of Utopia by the authors. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Who do we meet in the story that's a notable historical figure?
Nobody, basically, because by 350 years after this, everybody's genealogy is messed up. There are a lot fewer people than there would be. The technology is significantly behind what it was. The Industrial Revolution has not started yet. It's a different world. It's a wrecked world.
Oh, wow.
To find a point on it.
Oh, cool. Interesting. Yeah. So it sounds like you're thinking, is this dystopian alternate history?
I would say so. It's necessarily dystopian. You know, I'm old enough to remember just how dreadful the HIV pandemic was before we could do anything about it. I, you know, among the people I went to graduate school with were three gay men, and two of them are fine to this day, and the other one died in 1986 at the age of 41. So, yeah.
I'm fishing around here because I'm thinking there's something in our current events that probably motivated you to write this, if you will, this particular adjustment. Is that true? Is there something going on today that you're trying to shed a light on?
I don't think so, because I got the idea before the election of 2016. So.
Oh, okay. Okay.
You know, you don't always write them as soon as you get the idea. There's homework to be done. There are other things in the pipeline. Finally, you think, oh, what the hell? I'm going to do this.
If you enjoy listening to Sci-Fi Thoughts, but find it difficult to remember to check the website for new shows, get this technology from the future. Install into your phone a podcast player. Using this, you can subscribe to our podcast feed. And next thing you know, you'll be cruising around in your car with your phone plugged in, playing Sci-Fi Thoughts, or you'll be out there jogging, or you'll be doing whatever you want to do.
Put the podcast player down.
And have your ears plugged into some cool science fiction programming. You can find instructions on LancerKind.com. Check out the show notes, because that's where we keep the good stuff. That content will show up right in your podcast player, so you just tap on links to things about Harry, such as his Twitter, such as how to pick up his alternate history books.
What are our show notes? They show up right in your podcast player for easy tapping. If you downloaded this MP3 from a web page, that web page has the show notes there. The series started at episode 287. So if you're like my friend Dave and you missed the first episode, go to scifithoughts.space and you will find a search box and you can type in episode 286 or anything else you care to search for in our show archive. Next episode, more Harry Turtledove.
Well, you know, I spend a little time on Twitter and I've noticed others spending time there too. And I follow somebody who looks a lot like you. I don't know how you are, but I get a little upset with what I see on Twitter. And it's often an exercise in patience, more so after I moved to Texas. And sometimes, but sometimes I just need to call BS on what I see. So tell me, why do you spend time there?